Good afternoon again. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We're a local Glasgow congregation. We're a Scottish charity. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's off Dumbarton Road. Come to the police station opposite there. Go up the hill. You will first come to Thornwood Primary School, and then you'll see our building next door on the crossroads. We give you a warm welcome to come along on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, Sunday at 11 a.m. and again in the evening, the early evening at 6 p.m. And we also have a midweek meeting on Wednesday at 7:30. And again, we would extend a warm welcome to you all to come along and to hear something more concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the very heart and the very essence of the Christian gospel. And we come out, friends, because, well, we are commissioned. The Lord Jesus gave his disciples a great commission to go out and to preach the gospel. And they did that, but obviously they could never do the whole world, and therefore the commission has passed on to those who have followed the early apostles. And we have this commission from the Lord Jesus to go forth and to preach the everlasting gospel and to call men and women to repentance and faith in Christ, whom to know is life everlasting. And also we come out because we know that many people, in fact, we might say the vast majority of people today, do not come to the house of God. They never come and hear the gospel. They never hear the word of God read or proclaimed. They never sing praise to the great God of heaven. And they never hear a minister or anyone else calling upon God in prayer through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we come out in order that even for a few moments, that you might hear something that would do your soul good. There is a verse in Isaiah, "Hear and your soul shall live." Hear and your soul shall live. And this would tell us, friends, that we have something that will live forever and forever. What is that? It is our souls. You know, many people just think that we are simply body. And that's all that constitutes a human, is simply a body. Well, that's not the case at all according to the Bible. The Bible will tell us we are body and soul. And yes, the body will decline, and the body will die, and the body will go into the grave, and ultimately it shall return to dust. But there's more to our bodies than just body. We are a soul as well. And at death, what happens? The body and the soul separate. The body goes to dust, but the soul returns unto God who gave it. And you have, every one of you, you have a never-dying, eternal soul that will live forever and forever. And the question you must want to ask yourself this afternoon, where will my soul go when I die? You know, many people make provision for their death, for their funeral. They will buy a lair, and maybe they will order a coffin, and maybe they will give instructions regarding a headstone. These things are all very well. But where will your soul go when you go the way of all the earth? when that great separation day comes, when you shall be rushed into eternity and your soul shall return unto God who give it. What will happen? Do you want to know what will happen? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that our soul shall return unto the Lord Himself, to God our Creator. And there instantly there will be a judgment.
Jesus!
There will be a judgment. What will that judgment be? The judgment will be based upon what we have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have Him as our Lord and Savior, if we know Him as Lord and Savior, we shall go to heaven to be with Him. But if we don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, what will happen to our souls? Well, the Bible talks about another place. It talks about a place called hell. And this place is a place of torment. And this place has been prepared for the devil and for his angels. But it also tells us that those who are not in Christ, who will not have Christ to rule over them, who do not have Him as Lord and Savior, they will go to that terrible place called hell to be with the devil and his angels. Now we come out, friends, to tell you there's a better way. We want to tell you the way to heaven. You know, one day I asked a Jehovah Witness, "Tell me the way to heaven." And for a few moments he was flummoxed. He didn't know what to say. And then eventually he pointed up, "That's the way to heaven." You must understand that the Jehovah Witnesses are not Christians. They are not Orthodox Christians. They are a false cult. But if you were to ask me the way to heaven, by the grace of God, I would be able to tell you exactly the way to heaven. I can tell you the way to heaven from Glasgow. I can tell you the way to heaven from Buchanan Street this afternoon. I can give you precise directions. What is the way to heaven? Well, we need to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. What does He say? "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." You'll find that in the Bible. You'll find it in John chapter 14, verse 6. There the Lord Jesus Christ is sweeping away all other religions, all other prophets, all other imposters. He is sweeping them all away, and He is saying dogmatically, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." No one will go to heaven but by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who alone has come down from heaven. No one else has ever done that. This is what, in one sense, makes Christianity unique. All other religions, you can sum them up in a few sentences by telling us that this is the way to be saved. Do this, obey rules, do this, and then you'll be saved. Christianity tells us something different. It tells us about one who has come down from heaven, and we are to believe upon Him. We are to trust upon Him, and to trust upon Him alone. This is one element that makes Christianity unique. It is what God has done in Christ for mankind. All other religions tell us, as it were, to walk up or climb up a ladder and make our way to heaven with our good works, with our religious deeds. Christianity tells us to believe. To believe in the only begotten Son of God. To believe in that one who suffered and died on Calvary's tree. To believe in Him, to call upon Him. That's why we come out this afternoon, friends, to tell you and hopefully to introduce you to this glorious person, this one who humbled himself, this one who truly condescended and left glory in order to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. And you might well ask yourself, how does the Lord Jesus Christ seek and save that which is lost? Well, he does it today. He does it through the preaching of the gospel. That's why he sends gospel preachers out to proclaim this word, inviting them to come to the Lord Jesus. Have you heard this great, glorious gospel invitation? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a wonderful, full and free gospel invitation from the King and Head of the Church himself, Jesus Christ, in his word. He says to you today, this afternoon, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I can tell you now, even although you might not recognize it yourself, yet you are laboring. You've got a burden. You've got something that troubles you. You've got something that gnaws in the back of your mind. You have something that you would call a burden. And maybe you don't know what it is. Well, I can tell you, friends, what it is. What is it? It is your sin. It's this burden of sin that you're carrying around with you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you today in the gospel, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How can he possibly give us rest? He gives us rest by taking this burden off us. You see, this is what he's done on Calvary's tree. He has dealt with our greatest need and our greatest problem. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, youthful days are great days. They're happy days. They're days of life and vitality, enthusiasm, and with the whole of life before you. But friends, there's no other better way than to spend your youth than to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because as the Bible says, as that verse says, the evil days will come. And you may well ask me, what are the evil days? Well, the evil days are days of old age. Because with old age comes difficulty. With old age comes declining health. With old age comes all kinds of problems. We all know it. We're all getting older. There are no exceptions. And that's why we're urged to seek the Lord while we're young, in the days of our youth, and to commit our lives to Christ and his cause now. Because many people think that they can live their life, get on with life, and then maybe when they become a bit older, and when they're not so mobile, and when maybe they think that death is not too far away, then maybe they might begin to become religious. It's not as simple as that, friends. It's not as simple. No, it's not. That's why we're urged to seek the Lord while he may be found today. Because these evil days will come, these days of ill health, of infirmity, when it takes more to do even the most basic things that didn't bother us before, it takes much more effort. And to become a Christian requires effort, because to become a Christian, you're to repent. You're to turn your back upon your sin, and this is no easy thing. And that's why the Bible says that repentance is ultimately a gift from God. And none of us can repent unless we get this gift from God. And don't let any one of us think that we can repent on our deathbeds. Don't think for one moment that that can necessarily happen to us. Today is the day of salvation. We're to make our calling and election sure today. We are to be found in Christ today. We are to call upon Him today, for now is the accepted time. We don't know how long we shall live for, do we? We know that life can be very uncertain, and it can be very brief at some times. What is the lifespan of people today? Well, the Bible tells us maybe 70 years, maybe 80, fourscore, and maybe if by reason of strength. But none of us are guaranteed a day. That's why we're urged now to come, now to seek the Lord, now to call upon Him, now indeed to turn from our ways. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." What a glorious verse. He didn't come into this world to destroy men. He came into this world to save men. That's what He did. And He wants to be known as a Savior. And that's why we come out to tell you about this Savior, because we all need to be saved. What do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from our sins. Sin has such a grip and such a power and such a hold over us that we cannot save ourselves from our sins. And we are sinners by nature. And therefore it's obvious that because our natures are sinful, our lives are sinful. And we need to be saved from this. And only God in Christ can deal with this great matter. We cannot do it ourselves. And this is why the Apostle Paul went through the early world in the first century. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We want to ask you then this afternoon as we draw our time to a close, do you know anything of being saved? Have you been saved? This is what it's all about. Because the day will come, friends, when we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stand before Him. We'll give an account of our lives. There's going to be a judgment day, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God without a Savior. It's a fearful thing. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And we persuade men that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive all who will come to Him. All who will come to Him, all who will repent, all who will believe, will find that He will receive them. He will not cast them off. He will receive. He will accept. He will save. Cast yourselves upon Him. He will save. He's able to save to the absolute uttermost. And that's the one you are called upon to embrace. That one who suffered and died in the room and place of sinners. We're going to close our time. It's good to be here. We're from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. Come along to 2 Thornwood Terrace. Come along on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. in the evening. And also we have a midweek meeting at 7 p.m. And we would extend a warm welcome to you all to come and hear more concerning Christ and His gospel. May God bless.